Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, April the 7th. It's the first Monday of the month, and that means, more often than not, Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo, joins us to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. And from time to time, we have a special focus on the hour and welcome in another staff member at Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are doing that today. We are happy to also have with us Alan Reeland, who is the Director of Technology and New Media for Wisconsin Public Radio, to talk with you about, well, technology and new media, and especially what you can find on our website, WPR.org. Ever been there? Well, if not, check it out right now. WPR.org. You can tell us what you think. You can tell us what web services you would enjoy or ask any questions that you have. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Let me welcome both of our guests, Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Joy.
And good morning to Alan Reeland, the Director of Technology and New Media for Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good morning, Joe.
So, Alan, you have been around here a long time, as long as I've been around here, and then some, Director of Engineering for some 20 years, and a couple of years ago, this brand new position of Director of Technology and New Media. What's all involved in that?
Well, of course, technology keeps changing, and so part of the position I have is to keep on top of that. What's out there that is useful to radio and radio listeners and broadcasters, but a major portion of it is to maintain and manage their websites, and we have a lot of them.
Yeah, we sure do. And Phil, last time you were on, you had mentioned, you know, we should have Alan Reeland, come on and talk to people about what's on our web and the different services we offer through our website, because we get a lot of comments in our listener logs about this each month.
Well, so many questions mm-hmm. are related to the web, because the web is becoming more and more integrated with what we do at Wisconsin Public Radio. As listener habits shift from real-time online listening to the radio to listening to what I want, when I want, wherever I want, we're trying to adjust and adapt to that, and Alan is central to that. And so we do get a lot of questions about web-related things, because the web is one of our delivery vehicles.
Yeah, and we are keeping track on a lot of web statistics, Alan. I know that you keep track of how many hits the various sites get, to how many people are listening, to are streaming, to how many people are downloading programs, right?
That's right. That's one of my jobs that I have, and I try to keep on top of it. Because we have so many vehicles, so many servers out there in various places, it's a lot of fun to keep on top of that. But let me give you an example. WPR.org, which represents not only our core site, like your website, but also, to the best of our knowledge, Zorba Pastor on Your Health, Calling All Pets, and so on, receives well over 1 million page views a month. And that's a lot. That's a lot for any radio station, any public radio station especially. It does include the national programs, and that's one of the reasons why there are so many page views. We don't use hits anymore, because it turns out the hits actually counts objects like graphics and things like that. So people were playing that game where they were putting 50 graphics on their page and getting 50 times the hits. So, but page views means that the page was delivered to you.
I'm so behind the times.
That's all right.
And you also know, how many people do you think are listening to us right now on live through their computers?
Well, we have three systems right now for live streaming. We have the Real Player, we have Windows Media Player, and we have the MP3 streams. And those were developed over time. And if we want, we can go into the history of that a little bit. But this time of the morning, we probably have about 550 listeners on those three streams to us.
Which is as much as some of our stations. So the web is actually, we're thinking about it more and more as a station, because it gets the listenership throughout the day that that some of our stations do, and of course it has the. The reach worldwide. My favorite was during the last pledge drive when I was on. Somebody emailed in with a web pledge, and they were listening on their boat off the coast of Portugal. Which I this was, of course, in the middle of winter, which yes. sounded really good to me at the time. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, we do, and we get callers from time to time in the very early morning hours from people listening in other states that a lot of them are Wisconsin natives who move somewhere else, and they want to keep in touch with us through Wisconsin Public Radio. Got an email already from Jim in Madison who has two issues. Mm-hmm. He, let me start with this one. He wishes that we would use something other than Real Player for archives. He recommends a more universal player like Windows Media. What about that, Alan?
Well, yeah, it's certainly something we're looking at. We started out with Real Audio because it was originally it was the only thing out there. I mean, we started in 2000, 2001, and at that time, the Real Player was really the first accepted media player for streaming. And a good thing was that the company was very nice to us and gave us the license, and we had a server, and so it was cheap because it was free. Since then, we've gone on the live streams. We've gone to other things like the MP3 streaming and the Windows Media. For archives, we've kept with it. It does have one advantage in that it's one file, and yet it can be received at three different bit rates. So if you have a dial up. Connection to the web, it'll give you that quality. And if you have a cable modem or a DSL line or something like that, a little faster connection to the web, it'll give you it at a higher quality automatically. So it has some advantages. However, we know that more and more, well, first of all, the usage of Real has gone down. It was 80% back in 2001, 2002. Now it's about 30%. Of the media players out there. So
that's a Real Player?
That's, well, 30% for Real Player now. And, of course, iTunes and MP3 streaming is taken over as the primary listening vehicle. So we're looking at switching to MP3 and doing MP3 streaming. And we may just drop Real Player altogether, even though it has those advantages. It does mean, however, that we have to create more than one version of our archives in MP3 because we still want to be able to be received by people with dial-ups and mm-hmm. and also, you know, cable modems and so on.
Maybe this one is for you, Phil, from Jim's email. He doesn't think that you should have to be a member to download a program to your MP3 player.
Well, we've had some comments about that. We started with Alan created our WCAS system for downloading. Anybody can listen to the archives. You can stream it on your computer, any program that's in there. But to download it onto your computer and your MP3 player, we thought of it as a benefit of membership because there is some cost associated with it, and we. We used to sell a lot of CDs of our program, which we has dropped off a lot. But it was an experiment, and as we do it, and you can be, by the way, you can be a member at any level mm-hmm. that you choose. So it's not a terrible burden. But we're looking for comments like Jim's so that we can assess what we do in the future.
If you have a comment for us, 1-800-642-1234. I think I almost gave the pledge drive number. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send us an email, talk@wpr.org. Talking with Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Alan Reelin, the director of technology and new media for Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up, John Munson is in for Kathleen Dunn today, and after 9 o'clock, John and his guest talking about the latest headlines when it comes to politics and the economy. That's coming up after 9 o'clock. Talking with Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Alan Reelin, the director of technology and new media for Wisconsin Public Radio, on this, the first Monday of the month, when we always focus in on issues that matter to you as a Wisconsin Public Radio listener, looking at our website and our new media offerings during this particular hour. And Alan, you had something you wanted to add about podcasting.
Yes, I wanted to follow up from what Phil said. We are looking at podcasting and I'm looking very seriously at it. We generate 55 hours of new programming every week. So getting into podcasting in a big way is going to take a lot of effort. However, since we're looking at changing our archives from real audio to MP3 anyway, this sort of follows into that system of delivery. If you don't know what a podcast is, it's really a subscription system. You go to a website and you subscribe to the program, and then from then on, the program is delivered to your PC. And after it's delivered to your PC, you can listen to it on your PC, or you can move it to your iPod or other MP3 player and listen to it on that. The thing some broadcasters really don't like about podcasting is that you have no idea what happens to it after it leaves the server. Somebody will get, like me, I probably have 10 subscriptions to podcasts. I religiously listen to 2 or 3. The other 7 I use when I'm on trips, but there's probably a couple of those that I probably haven't listened to in many months, but they keep getting delivered. It's sort of like getting a CD mailed to you once a week or maybe once a day, and somebody's paying for the CD and somebody's paying for the mail, the stamps and so on. And then they start stacking up. And then the other side, the delivery company doesn't know if you're listening to them at all. Mm-hmm. So there's a disconnect, and it's one of the problems I see in podcasting. However, it is so ubiquitous, it's so expected of us that I think we're going to do it. You know?
And I sorry, Joy. I know when I first got an iPod, I subscribed to all these things. I thought this is going to be great, and I probably used about 5% of it that I actually listened to. And there is a bandwidth issue, too, right?
Oh, yes. We pay for bandwidth.
But you just mentioned, Phil, that a program that I did last week when I talked to the author of a book called I Don't Believe in Atheists, that is, at least this past week, the number one download. Is that right?
That's right. Mm. We have the, if you go to the WPR.org website, and on the homepage, there's a little box for WCAST. You can click on View This Week's Top 10 Downloads, which I think is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And Joy Cardine, April 1st, 8 o'clock hour is number one. But we know that because people are downloading it as a benefit of membership, and that's the number, I assume, Alan, of downloads, right?
Right. It's related to the number of downloads.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have lots of callers and emailers who have questions, so let me take our first, and we'll go to Milton in West Dallas. Hi, Milton. You're on the air.
Good morning. In April of last year, a year ago, I asked Mr. Corvo about the listings of classical music on the website and how it's basically, we can't put a schedule of what we're going to hear for classical music on the website because our government caved in to the music industry back in 1996 when they made the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And so we're not allowed to know what's going to play for classical music. And Mr. Corvo said that he and Wisconsin Public Radio were doing everything they could to get this changed, and that he agreed with my concern about it. And now that it's a year later, could I please, and other people who are concerned about this issue, could we please have a progress report?
Well, National Public Radio is really leading the way in that effort on behalf of the member stations. We are, as members of National Public Radio, they represent us in matters such as this. And I know it's a matter of importance to a lot of stations that do broadcast music, I don't know what the latest is on NPR's efforts. Do you, Alan?
No, I think there's always negotiations going on. Right now, I think they're focusing on streaming rights for music, which is another issue with the DMCA, in that that's one of the reasons why we can't archive the music programs or programs, for example, like The Midday, which I personally edit. I can't include a piece of music or a selection that's played. I have to leave only 30 seconds of a clip or something like that in there if it's played from a disc. So, it's the DMCA is a real problem. Unfortunately, you're right. The RIAA has a lot of power.
Yeah. Well, Milton was talking about music listings. You can go to our website and get the listings of all of the talk shows that you hear on the Ideas Network, including guests and topics for various days. I do hear from some people that just have a hard time navigating, though, Alan. Want to talk about whether, you're working on making it as easy as possible for navigation on our website?
Sure. One of the things we're looking at this year is essentially a relaunch of our WPI.org core site. That's the core site. It starts when you go to our homepage. And our homepage is awash with menus, but they get you only to specific large areas. So, whether it's the Ideas Network or the Music Service or our contacts and things like that. We're looking at, first of all, removing the menus, but making more dynamic menus that take up less space. So we have more space on the homepage for features and automatically display information about what's on now. If you go to the website now, you'll see that, yes, Joy Cardine is what's on now, but it doesn't show topic and guest and so on. And that's something we want to add. And then from that position, you can click and get more information on that. Or, for example, it can't display the last three news features that were created here by WPR news staff. And we want to be able to do that automatically.
Yeah, we just got an email from somebody regarding, and I'm not sure I understand it entirely, an email where he was talking about a news story that he heard on Wisconsin Public Radio, and he was looking for it on the website. I don't know if this was today, something he heard this morning, and he was looking right away this morning, but he said, I could not find Mr. Johnson's report on WPR.org, where I wanted to hear it again and check myself. I'm writing to you because I hope you will address this issue on the air today. I'm rushing to get ready for work. Do you know how soon our news stories are posted on our website or whether they're all there?
News stories on WPR.org are in a static web page, which is one of the problems we have. And that's one of the projects we have coming up fairly soon is to change the way they store programs or features and pieces. And it'll make it easier to search for things like this. But also it allows us to reformat that information and display it in other places automatically instead of having to retype everything. So I guess my answer is they post things every day. I think it's usually within 3 or 4 hours after it airs. They're very good about doing a very good job about having everything out there with the information. It's not always easy to search for it, however, and it's one of the problems we have with that, especially when you use a static system like that.
But in the archives, though, you can search for news pieces.
Yes. We built our own search engine for the archives.
I think it's pretty cool.
I like it a lot. It was fun to do, and it took a while to figure out how to do it. But, you put a word in it, it'll actually highlight the word in every hit, and it makes it a lot easier than it used to be to find the program that you're looking for.
We are talking with Alan Reelin, Director of Technology and New Media at Wisconsin Public Radio, and Phil Corvo, the Director of Wisconsin Public Radio. A line is open for you if you'd like to talk about what's on our website, maybe what's not, different services available to you through the website, or if you have a suggestion or a question about our website, WPR.org, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Bob in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Bob.
Hi there. Hey, Joy, I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
This is a question for Alan and Bill, of course.
Phil.
I'm an airline pilot, and I fly all over the world, and so I listen to WPR when I'm at various places. And I use a real audio most of the, well, virtually all of the time. And it seems that compared to NPR and Chicago Public Radio, the site seems to drop out quite a bit. Is there a quality issue as far as the servers you use, or what would cause something like that?
Well, the servers we're using are maintained by the University of Wisconsin Extension. And I would say in the last 2 months, we've probably had more problems with our servers than we've had in the last 12 months before that. It's an issue we've been working on with the managers over there, and some of them are most of them are not our something that we're doing. It's just aging equipment and so on. We are in the middle of switching all our databases over from one server to another. That's much more has a greater ability to serve information. And we're hoping later this year, this annual year, to switch over to a new server for our web server. So along with a lot of other things, we're always working on in the background trying to make this site more stable and so on. But with a million visitors a month, there is a lot of pressure on the website. If there's an issue at the university with connectivity, there's a lot of wiring, rewiring they've been doing on the campus this year. Every time they change out a server somewhere or replace the connections to gateways and so on, all those different pieces of equipment, any one of them go down and we lose connections to our server from the outside. And so it's very frustrating. I mean, I'm at home, and I'm 7 miles away, and I can't get our server some evenings because they're replacing equipment. So it happens.
Do you fly for Midwest Express, Bob?
No, actually, I work for Delta.
Oh, another great airline.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks.
Narita is bad. Dubai is bad, but Mumbai, I've never had any problem there.
Interesting. It's good to have you listening along all over the world, Bob. Thanks very much for the call. Alex in Wauwatosa is with us now. Hi, Alex. You're on the air.
Hello, Joy. Hello to the guests. I can't beat that last pilot story about the world and WPR online, but I can tell you that when I was living in Baltimore, WPR Online was a lifesaver, and I thank you very much for having that available. Can you talk a little bit about why there is a split between Milwaukee Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio? Because I think with all the fancy technical innovations, wouldn't it be better if the services were joined and combined or some cooperation? And I'll listen on the radio. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay. Phil, I think that one's for you.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Alex, and thanks for listening all over the country. When Wisconsin Public Radio was formed in the 80s, it was a partnership of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board, which owns the licenses for many of our stations, and the University of Wisconsin Extension, which owns licenses for others. The University of Wisconsin and some of the other UW of Wisconsin campuses around the state, but the University of Wisconsin Madison chose not to become a part of Wisconsin Public Radio for many reasons. It's Alan was here at the time. You might be able to expand on it a little bit. But basically, I guess the answer is because they didn't want to be part of Wisconsin Public Radio and wanted to be independent and do their own thing. So, you know, that's mm-hmm. just the way it evolved over history, Alex. So, yeah, and it's a good station, WUWM. I listen to it occasionally, and they do some good things, but they're not part of us.
Right. Yeah. I think what, of course, happened was from the manager's point of view at WUWM at the time, they decided they just wanted to be more independent and set up their own local program schedule and so on. And so they made that decision, and the deans that, you know, between the two systems decided they'd leave it that way.
Yeah, speaking right. of local program schedules, it's not just Wisconsin Public Radio's statewide schedule for our Ideas Network or our NPR News and Classical Music Network posted on the website. There are local program schedules there, too, because there are variations depending on where you live.
Oh, yes. One of the things that we did several years ago was emphasize or create web pages and emphasize the ability to go into our regions and the structure of – I'm trying to explain the structure of Wisconsin Public Radio to someone can take hours, but mm-hmm. basically there are seven regions, and including Madison, and each region has the ability to do local programming. And, for example, in Green Bay, that's – the main stations in Green Bay are WPNE and WHID, and there are several other stations that are fed out of that region, but they also have regional programs that are played. And I know every evening, every weekday evening, they play a different, usually a music program. There's a jazz program, there's a blues program. So our regional manager up there, Lisa Nalbandian, does a really good job of managing all that. And so if you go to, for example, wpr.org/WPNE, you mm-hmm. will go to their site. It's kind of a shortcut into their regional site, and you can see not only the programs that are played, but also playlists of what the music they play.
Or you could mm-hmm. go to the homepage and click on studio stations and program schedules.
That's right, and see everybody's.
We have, in fact, I know Central Wisconsin poses some issues for reception, Phil, and Fred in Wausau says, I live in Wausau and we have the Wisconsin Ideas Network on 91.9. However, after 6 p.m., 91.9 switches to a Rhinelander public radio station and also on weekends, and we miss hearing the Ideas Network. This has been frustrating. So happens that he's not really asking a web question, but the web is the solution in this particular region, right?
A couple of solutions, Joy, yes. And he could might also be able to listen on WLBL AM, which is 930 AM from Auburndale. But that is a daytime authorized station, so it has to go to greatly reduced power in the evening, and it's difficult to receive. We also have put the Ideas Network on the HD2 channel mm-hmm. in on WHRM, which is 90.9.2. If you have a digital radio, which not many people do, but it's a start. But anyone with access to the internet can listen, of course, to the Ideas Network all over the world, as we can see. Mm-hmm. That isn't quite so convenient if you're traveling in a car or something like that. But
not yet.
It's not yet. But yeah, talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard this thing about this thing WiMAX. And is that going to?
This is so we can listen to the internet in our cars.
It's coming someday. Mm-hmm. Well, you know about Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is a short-distance wireless connection, probably 100, 150 feet maximum. And a lot of companies are experimenting with a system called WiMAX, which has a range of – it's more like cell phones. It has a range of 10, 15, 20 miles. And So, you know, we can look down, and putting my technology hat on, you can look down the timeline a little bit, maybe in 5 or 10 years, where WiMAX is more available, and you'll be able to subscribe to that. And the some of the fallout of that is, well, if you have, for example, a laptop and you're somewhere where you can't get Wi-Fi, or you don't have something like an edge card or something into a cell phone where it's more like, you know, sort of a dial-ups type of system, you'll be able to pick up the WiMAX signal in your area and anywhere you are have internet connectivity. And sort of the next thing that could happen are auto radios that have not only AM and FM, and some of them have a satellite radio, but they may also have a WiMAX connection. And with that, you'll be able to listen to our streams anywhere in your car, anywhere in that there's a signal.
Are there some cities that have...
Actually, Madison has WiMAX on the far west side as an experiment.
Oh.
There's a company that is trying it out and seeing if they can get... right now, it's a way of providing internet connections, especially for people who don't have access to cable. So there's a company in Madison that's trying it out on the west side.
We are talking about Wisconsin Public Radio's website and various services offered through our website with Alan Reelin, Director of Technology and New Media for Wisconsin Public Radio, and Phil Corvo, the Director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Phil joins us every first Monday of the month, and sometimes we also welcome in another guest to focus in on a different aspect of Wisconsin Public Radio. And this time it's new media and the internet and our website, WPR.org. What would you like to see on that website, or what services would you like to enhance your listening pleasure? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Your feedback and your questions are welcome. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn is out for another day or so, still under the weather. John Munson in for Kathleen, talking all things political after 9 o'clock every Monday in the 9 o'clock hour, wrapping up the week in politics. So John and his guest doing that in our next hour. Right now we're talking about Wisconsin Public Radio's website and Wisconsin Public Radio's new media in general with Alan Reelin and Phil Corvo. We just heard Phil and Alan, a promotion for the General Petraeus is going to be testifying before Congress tomorrow about the progress being made in Iraq. And that's not going to be preempting our whole day of programming on either of our services, but it will be available through the website. So this is another, we can deliver programming through our website too, alternative programming.
That's right. It's one of the powerful things that we can do with streaming, live streaming especially, is we can have side channels, or I actually have a spare encoder in the back room that I keep there just in case we're doing something that we want to carry on the website, but perhaps not interrupt our regular broadcast programming. In this particular case, NPR is going to be sending us a feed of the programming, and we're going to just pass that along. It'll be an NPR-fed program, but it'll be a stream.
Yeah, and we do that from time to time
sure.
with whatever debates or other things going on in Washington or whatever the case may be.
And it's the same reason we, on our homepage, we also have a link to the latest NPR news. So if you miss the top of the hour newscast, and within 15 or 20 minutes after that, you can go to our homepage and hear it again.
Yeah. Let's go to Larry in Stevens Point next. Hi, Larry. You're on the air.
Good morning, all. Just wanted to remind you that there are those of us out here who do not have fast connections. AT&T does not provide us, and we don't have cable where I live. So as you improve things, try to remember that there are dial-up people.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a good reminder, Larry. And we do hear, especially in the northeastern part of the state, Florence County, around in there, it's just not possible to get.
Well, and even if you have what appears to be a good connection, it can go south in a hurry sometimes. I was at a meeting in San Diego about 4 years ago, and The hotel I was staying at had free, I guess free is what you get, you get what you get when you get free internet access. And I plugged in and I got 16 kilobits per second, which is about as low as you can go. But I was able to listen to us. I wasn't able to hear the music service, but I was able to hear the Ideas Network because we go all the way down to 8. Mm-hmm. You don't sound very good at 8, Joy, but 16 is not too bad.
I'll see what I can do about that. Jim in Madison sends an email. My comment pertains to the Ideas Network website, the scheduling page in particular. For the most part, it's well done and informative. I think he's talking about the program notes. However, in some time slots, they do not give information about upcoming guests or topics. In particular, the 4 p.m. time slot with Ben does not have information the night before. Sure, I understand that guests have not been finalized sometimes, but that can't be the case every day. Even at this moment, the 4 p.m. time slot does not have any information about today's show. Well, I guess I can handle that a little bit. That's because today's 4 o'clock show for Ben Marins has not been finalized yet. So
you would be surprised how short a time there is between the time that how late sometimes something. They want to be topical, and they want to get the guest, the best guest they can, and sometimes it's very late in the day before they get things
finalized. Often that 4 o'clock time slot is set aside for sort of the current issue of the day. What's making news today? What's being talked about today? And last night we didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's especially that particular hour, too, where he does want to be very relevant and very very newsy.
But we do offer to our, sometimes the night before we don't have every single slot filled, but people can get these emailed to them if they want.
That's one of the nice things we can do because it's all driven by a computer and tables and so on. We have the ability to send out an email to anybody who wants it of the next day's programming on the Ideas Network. And right now, I think it's sent to almost 2,000 people every evening.
How do you sign up for that?
Go to the website.
And
I don't have it in front of me.
There's a little click. It says click here to sign up for the program notes, I believe.
Or if you click on the Ideas Network button on the homepage, right at the top of the next page, there's a link for it also.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Jim, for the email. Well, we have time for you and a line for you if you have a question about services offered through Wisconsin Public Radio's website or feedback about the website, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Phil, I wanted to ask you about this interactive new feature that we want to add to our website called Public Action. What is that and when are we going to have that?
That's something that we're going to start instituting next month, actually, for some of our talk shows. And what it is it's a way to participate in something called social networking, and that is that the some of the hours of the talk radio programs and we'll have a place that you can go to continue the conversation that was started during the hour. Obviously not of the 30 or 40,000 people who are listening right now, not everybody can get into call, but this would enable a website for people to continue the discussion that would be moderated and be a way for people to interact, for the community to engage more with your public radio station, and that this is some software that helps us to do that. Alan, do you have any?
Yeah, it's really a way for WPR to be more interactive with its listeners. And so in a lot of cases, it'll just continue our on-air discussions online.
Yeah, and we can maybe ask various questions like, I don't know, with politics going on, various straw polls or issues of the day that people can just weigh in on whether they want to change this or that. So we might hold some polls like that on the air, too.
That's right.
Right, and we actually have an agreement with the people who wrote the software, that Public Interactive, that the UW Journalism Department here at UW is going to be doing some research during the first 2 years that we implement the software to kind of look at what people are interested in, really, and what helps to spur discussions and what's most effective with it. So you'll be hearing more about it on our website.
Boy, yeah, we'll look forward to that. It'll be fun using that as a part of the program, too. Yeah, speaking of polls and surveys, the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey is in the field as we speak. We hope to have results on a number of different Wisconsin issues and presidential politics ready by the end of this week. And that's something we will also post on our website. Alan, thank you very much.
Yes, it's always fun to do. It's fun to read. And it'll just watch the top of the homepage. And if you want to see the last four or five of them that we've done, we've also archived those.
Yeah, and that if all goes as scheduled, we should have that ready for release and discussion on this program on Thursday morning. So you can look on WPR.org to see the results of the latest Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey. Jim in Salt Lake City. Well, speaking of listening on the web, hi, Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, hey, I like your website and I love your streaming. Just a couple of suggestions, if I may. The first is, I wonder if you could have a link that's really handy, so if I want to email a question to the host rather than trying to remember it, as well as, is it possible if I could text a question to the host? And then the other request I have is it possible, maybe not every time, but when you have, you know, like a good show like Friday mornings, you have two opposing viewpoints, and it looks pretty heated at times, at least it sounds that way. If you could have like a webcam so we could watch the discussion. and then the last question I have is, I have an iPhone. Do you know if there's a way using the Edge network that I can listen to the Ideas network through my iPhone?
Let me take the iPhone question first, because we get a lot of questions about that. When the iPhone came out, as far as we can tell, and anybody else I've talked to in the technology world, they have disabled most streaming ability in the iPhone for now. I think there's only one radio station that's figured out a workaround on that, and that's pretty much it in the whole United States. Mm. But
Apple, would they do that?
Well, Apple's releasing what's called an SDK or software development kit. And they will be offering add-ons to the iPhone through the iTunes Store.
Oh.
So now you know.
Got it.
So it's a way for them to make some money, I think. But it's certainly coming. It's, you know, it just cries out to be done. And I think one of the very first development kits that's going to will enable streaming on the iPhone. One of your other questions.
Webcam. How about a webcam?
You know, we've talked about that about 3 or 4 years ago. We had a discussion about that. And, you know, nobody was too interested in that because, you know, the nice thing about radio is you can't tell I'm wearing tennis shoes and things like that. But, you know, it keeps coming up, and maybe something we look at.
Yeah, if you have in-studio guests, there's a little bit more to look at, but sometimes our guests are by the phone, and it's just maybe kind of boring to just see me sitting here by myself, you know, but I'm all for it, Phil.
I know you are, Joy, and we may do it, Jim. We've also been having discussions with our partners across the hall at Wisconsin Public Television about putting some of the talk programs on one of the multicast channels of digital television, which I think would be interesting too. Although you might be surprised, Jim, how quiet it is in the studios. It's
a
not,
polite word for boring.
It's not too dynamic. That most of what we do is oral, but but it's something we have been talking about, and I think some people would be interested in doing it, particularly for programs like that where we have a couple of guests in the studio. I think it would be interesting.
And I'd have to make sure not to roll my eyes at somebody's comment.
You'd have to be conscious of a lot of things.
Right. Yeah, what about a link
yes.
for email?
Sure.
I know we say talk at WPR.org, but people would
like... Well, it does exist on every, what we call a show page. So there's it exists on your page and Ben's page and Larry's page and so on. But you're right. You know, it's something that especially... if you use the web a lot, it probably should be on the homepage somewhere in the ideas section at least. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah. And what he had another one that was somewhat texting. I'm not sure.
Well, on my phone, I can text something which turns into an email, but we do not have text-to-text conversion mm-hmm. right now. So,
thank you very much, Jim. I'm glad that you're listening in Utah. Joe in Evansville is with us now. Hi, Joe.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm a new resident to Wisconsin, and I'm from St. Louis. And I,
welcome.
Thank you. I'm enjoying it here. I've been an avid listener of NPR radio for a long, long time, and I usually also pick it up on my computer when I'm grading papers for classes, so I listen all day. But since I've been here, I've had a very difficult time navigating your site. What I am accustomed to doing is just going to the site and picking up the Listen Live and clicking on it, and there it is. But I have spent probably 3 hours at different times on your site trying to find, how to listen live. For example, I like to listen to Diane Rehm in the morning, and I can't find it. What am I doing wrong?
Well, you're not doing anything wrong because we don't carry Diane Rehm. And that's actually one of the issues I'm looking at for a side channel. I'm trying to negotiate with the producers of the programs that are interesting, and yet we don't really have time to put them on our schedule. And so one of my projects is to create a side channel of these programs, including the Diane Rehm Show, which is a very popular program.
Yeah.
So it really is that it's not there. I can't listen live, but
you can, Joe, but not directly from our site because we don't carry that program. So if you clicked on Listen to WPR Online during the time that program is broadcast, which I think is in the
morning.
9 to 11.
Yeah. 9 to 11.
Yeah, I mean, NPR might have it on their website,
right.
But it's not. It's because we're not actually broadcasting it.
Yeah, we don't have the rights to
Joe, it's not.
It, yeah.
It's not. We don't have the rights to stream it.
And that's one of the problems I'm running into is to get rights to stream something that we're not broadcasting
because we haven't bought it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you both very much, all of you very much.
Thank you.
I thought I had lost my skill on the computer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, thanks very much, Joe.
I would go to Google and just put in Diane Rehm and streaming, and something will pop up.
Yeah.
R-E-H-M.
Yes. Well, let's go to one more call. Diane in Milwaukee. Hi, Diane.
Hi. What are you doing for programming for people who don't have computers? There are... unbelievable as it may seem, there are a bunch of us around, and maybe we would like to hear about those hearings, and we don't have a computer, so maybe those are the people who really need to hear about those kinds of things.
Yeah, all right, Phil, we only have a minute to go.
Well, we have some things that we do by telephone still. There's listener services, of course, and information about. Things, but as far as delivering audio to you without a computer from outside, your area, that's a real problem, and it's something that everybody who doesn't have a computer has to deal with. It goes back to listening to stations that are outside the area or stations in your area that are carrying the program you want. There's not a good solution at that point.
Final word, Phil? We only have a few seconds.
No, just that we're looking at ways to deliver programming content on telephones, but it's not very wieldy at this point.
Well, this has been fun. I've learned a lot. Alan, thanks very much for being here this time. And Phil, thank you, too. We'll talk to you next month, maybe on the first of the month.
May 5th, I believe it is.
All right. Thanks very much. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.